Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. My name is Brian Hess, and I am joined today by two brand new guests to the podcast. I've got Chad Balistrary.
Hey, guys.
And Bert Casey.
Hey there.
How you guys doing?
Great.
Doing good.
Good. I'm excited for this episode. So for anybody listening, if you didn't hear, this past Sunday, I actually had an opportunity to speak in church on this topic, and it's one that really fascinates me. It's one that I think is really important that we, just as believers, kind of keep at the forefront of our mind, because Jesus had a lot to say. The Bible in general has a lot to say about finances, about possessions, and I think it's a really important topic. And I'm excited to have you guys here, because I think both of you have really good thoughts and good perspectives on finances and the kingdom and worship. So I'm excited to get into that with you guys. My first question is, Chad, I'll start with you, because I know you and Kim have really great testimonies, really great stories just in the world of finances. If I have any area of my life where I'm either struggling or I'm wanting to grow, I always look for the people that are doing a lot better than me. I don't want to look to the people who are in the same boat as me. And so I know you're one of those guys who I can think about. So could you tell me just a little bit, maybe about, and you can go as far back or as in depth as you want to, but just tell me a little bit about how the Lord has kind of taken you on the journey of thinking about money the way that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I want to say that, you know, everything that we have is through Him and by Him.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken steps on our own, but it was by His guidance and His leading Kim and I to basically showing us how to invest, how money works, mm-hmm. how money is created, those type thoughts, right? So In the early years, it wasn't easy. I mean, in the early years, when Kim and I first got married, we were in debt. We had credit card bills. We had the bill collectors knocking on the door. We had all the things that a lot of young couples, young couples probably go through and struggle.
Yep.
Income, trying to raise a family, trying to do the right thing. Exchanging your time for income,
mm-hmm.
It's difficult to do.
Yeah.
And the Lord kind of brought us through this development of having the correct mindset when it comes to money, and when it comes to how He thinks of money, how He uses money, how we should use money,
mm-hmm.
For His glory and His purpose.
Yeah. So early on in marriage, you said you guys were not quite as equipped mm-hmm. as you are now
yep.
to handle money, to think about it. Is that something you were taught at all kind of growing up, or like what was that like for you just throughout your childhood? Was money a topic of conversation? Was that, you know, did you guys have money growing up?
Yeah, we didn't have money growing up. We were a typical middle class family.
Sure.
My parents never talked about finance, never talked about, you know, how it works. We didn't learn it in school.
Yeah.
My grandparents saved. So I guess if I got anything from my parents and grandparents is how to save.
Sure.
Right? Not necessarily how to spend or how to use money, but just how to save it.
Sure.
And so my grandparents were brought up in the 20s, the Depression era. They lost everything, had to do the bread lines, all those type things.
Mm-hmm.
So they never spent anything. They just always saved everything, lived off very little.
Yep.
So you had that mindset. And then you had the other mindset that basically you never planned for anything. You just, whatever money came in, you spent it.
Sure.
And whatever emotional at the time you were at, whatever state you were at, if you wanted it, you just bought it
mm-hmm.
and then worried about the bills later.
Sure.
Kind of a mindset. So the Lord brought us through a plan, to give our way out of debt.
Sure.
And basically showed us what giving looks like
wow.
and what increase, that you can obtain by giving.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible does talk about that clearly.
Yeah.
When you give, you can receive.
Yeah. That's one of those upside down principles, because you've got somebody who's in debt and you tell them, hey, start giving money away.
Yep.
Sounds a little backwards.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
But I mean, we have testimonies where we did start giving and we gave ahead of buying food.
Okay.
And then we'd get a knock on the door and said, hey, the Lord told me to buy your groceries for the week.
Wow.
And groceries would be given to us.
Yeah.
And when we started honoring the Lord with his principles, we seen increase in other areas besides our exchanging our time for money. So it was coming from other areas. And when we would get that money, we would give a portion of it and then apply a portion of that to our debt.
Yeah.
Until our debt started getting paid down and we snowballed our debt down to the point where we could give even more because our debt was gone.
Yeah.
And then just setting your life up with a budget. And I think having a budget is honoring the Lord. We're talking about worshiping in our finance. I think by having a budget, you're actually honoring the Lord by being good stewards of what he's blessing you with.
Yeah.
And having a plan of action for the money that comes in will actually bring more increase to you. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not prepared, if you don't know what to do when the money comes in,
sure,
it's going to be chaos. And typically it's not going to give you any more because you don't know what you're doing with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
I've always looked at money as an amplifier. So wherever you're at today, you get more money, you're going to be in the same position or worse.
Sure.
Makes
sense.
So set your life up to be a receiver and a good steward, a father. Now understand what finance does, how money works. Even though you have little, you have much because of what he gave to you and what he died for you. He wants to multiply the kingdom. He wants us to subdue this earth and grow the kingdom, and it takes finance to do that. But where you're at, understand how it works. You know, set your budget up in honor of him so that you understand in your worship place that more is going to come.
Yeah.
So you're worshiping him because I'm ready to receive whatever you have. And when the money comes in, I already know the plan and what you want me to do with it.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Bert, tell us a little bit about you. You're a businessman. You guys, I don't know how many people listening to this would know this, but you and Laura, one of the reasons you guys moved to Chattanooga is because you had kind of a business model. And since being here, you guys have started a couple of businesses. Can you tell us just a little bit about maybe what the Lord has taught you about money, about how to think about it, just over, you know, the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, 7 maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. He's totally transformed how I think about money in multiple ways and in multiple different phases.
Yeah.
He had to kind of bring me through. So I think most of my life, I kind of had a perspective around money that I would say came out of the fall of mankind, right? The curse over mankind in the garden. And it's this idea that, hey, from now on, instead of just living in paradise and having all your needs taken care of by God, now you've got to work by the sweat of your brow and toil and fight with the briars coming out of the earth to get food.
Yeah.
And so money is the result of work and toil and labor, which also eats up all of your time. And that was just sort of the expectation, I think, growing up, that, you know, you've got to work this job with all of your time to support your family and provide for folks. And I think actually a part of what Jesus came to accomplish, this is kind of some of the things that I feel like he started to show me, is that, he wants to set us free from that sort of rat race. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a job. There's nothing wrong with working hard to put food on the table for your family. That's an honorable thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the Lord has made a way for us to kind of move back into his original plan in the garden with regard to money and everything else as well. But, that he wants us, rather than we're depending on our own efforts, on our own labor, we're shifting that back to depending on him and trusting him. And it sort of brings us out from under this curse that requires us to trade our time for money, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally. And so my perspective on money in general and finance in general started to shift dramatically. Mainly because I started getting words from people, kind of prophetic words from several people over the course of a decade. And this theme kept coming up about entrepreneurship and starting businesses for kingdom purpose. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. So I ignored them. I shelved them.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they just repeatedly kept coming up, I thought, well, okay, I better look into this, and started praying about it, started talking to people about it. And then the Lord kind of connected me with some business, Christian businessmen who were multimillionaires, some pastors who also had this sort of marketplace mindset, I'd say, who recommended books to me and different things like that. It started shifting my mindset about all of this. The next big phase, I would say, is after moving here to Chattanooga, where we really jumped in for the first time and left a steady job with a regular paycheck and benefits and all that in a community we knew, moved to a new place and founded a new business, which is a very challenging.
Yeah.
And then basically ran that business for about 5 years and then went through the process and we sold it last year. That's where God really started kind of tightening the screws a little bit and putting his finger on particular things he wanted to change in my heart around money. And I think he started to show me that every place I have anxiety is a place where I'm not trusting him.
Mm-hmm.
And it just started coming up over and over again. So when we were trying to sell this business, it took over a year for this to finally come together. And there's probably 30 different buyers over the course of that time that came through and showed some interest, went through some level of the process of preparing to buy and then backed out for different reasons. And the business was struggling at various times, you know, through that process where, you know, we've got deadlines, we've got bills coming up. We don't know how we're going to make these things work. And then this buyer would come along and say, oh, I'm interested in buying it. You know, let's talk about it. And we were praying for the buyer.
Yeah.
And we were trusting God for a buyer. And then as soon as the buyer would show up, it was like my trust shifted over to this person. And they were now the solution to my problem. And I knew this was the case because they would back out a week later. And all of a sudden, my anxiety would spike up just out of control. And I'm like, why am I so anxious? Oh, it's because as soon as God brought the buyer, I started putting my trust in that.
Yeah.
And this happened over and over and over. It happened like 30 times in a row over the course of a year. So it just got drilled into me where by the end, you know, it was becoming more and more clear. Like God's trying to get at this trust issue.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Yeah. And it's just like him to, to allow our trust to be formed in like difficult circumstances.
It was a beautiful gift to have those 30 opportunities. Cause it's like, you know, it was like a training.
Yeah.
You know, if it happened once or twice, I don't think it would have been, you know, integrated so solidly for me.
Yeah. And, one of my favorite Bible verses that talk about a lot actually speaks directly to what you were just saying. So Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And there is, and I've noticed this, and I've paid attention in my own life, that just like you said, there is a correlation to where if I'm lacking joy and I'm lacking peace in a particular area of my life, that's probably an indication that I'm not quite trusting the Lord with that. Because as you learn to trust him, you stop worrying about, you know, how it's going to work out. And I've kind of just settled in my own life into this, just believing that he's good, he does good things. Psalm 119:68. David literally says that you are good and what you do is good. And so I don't always know how he's going to do something good, but he will. And he does in the right time.
For sure. I think that's probably a process we always go through throughout life.
Yes.
You may get a little bit more better at it, more comfortable in the trust. But I think there's always that link to having a dependency on Father.
Yeah.
He wants us in that position of depending on me. And even in my own life, you know, speaking about that, I've gone through that as well. As business owners, I think all of us probably do at some moment in time. You start relying on yourself. I've got to get out of this the situation I'm in. And then you start looking to outside sources instead of seeking Father for the answer. So that speaks true. And probably a lot of people, not just necessarily business owners. I'm sitting here thinking people that have bills to pay, that still work a job, and you have a bill that pops up that you weren't planning on, weren't prepared for, and you still have to trust Father in that.
Well, this is even one of the powerful aspects of tithing, I think, right? Mm-hmm. And you were talking about how you tithe before even you bought your groceries.
Yep.
And then God provided the groceries, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's one of the powerful things about tithing is that it's a statement of our trust
right.
yeah.
in the Lord, right? That we're not here, we got this money under our control, but we're voluntarily giving it,
you yep. know,
and trusting him to take care of the deficit.
Absolutely. And time after time after time again, you can look back and see how he just brought you through and brings you through every time. And he's faithful mm-hmm. to do it every time.
Yeah.
He's not going to do it once.
Yep.
And now you're on your own. It's a walk, continuous walk of faith
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to honor and trust you with my finances, knowing that you're going to provide for my needs.
Yeah.
And the kingdom's going to grow in process.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I think probably my favorite thing about tithing is that it is a continual, well, it creates a rhythm of trust in your life, right? It's a rhythm. Every time money comes into my hand, it's this rhythm where, Lord, I thank you and I trust you. I thank you and I trust you. The Lord started taking Katie and I through, I guess I'd say we like really began our journey of developing deep trust in the Lord in the area of finances about 7 years ago. So we've always been givers. You know, I grew up in a family. My parents, like we weren't loaded. We were always, you know, and I was the baby too. So by the time I came around, you know, things were much better off than when my older yeah. siblings were younger. but you know, my parents were always very generous and they, you know, I saw them model that and they were always tithers for as long as I can remember. So Katie and I, you know, she grew up similarly and, we've always been givers, but then one time the Lord challenged us to like really up our giving. And in 1 year, he had asked us to give away, more than $17,000. Mm-hmm. And at that time, like, I think we were both, I mean, we've never had like really high paying salaries. Like, you know, like that's a lot of money in yeah. 1 year for what we were making. And I remember the Lord challenged me because I got really caught up in the excitement of, and this is going to sound backwards, and I'll explain what I mean by this. Because I do believe that when you give, I think that the Lord is a giver. And I think that I don't think you can outgive him. You know, that's something I firmly believe. But I got really caught up in the excitement that, of like what I would reap from that seed that was sown. And I just remember like spending so much time thinking like, oh my gosh, like we gave away a lot of money. Like I cannot wait to see how this comes back. Yeah. You know, was it going to be 10-fold, 100-fold? You know, it's a lot of money. And one day the Lord just kind of like arrested me in just a moment of thinking about that. And he challenged me and he said, hey, like, I love your excitement about this. And I want you to like, you know, I want you to know you can trust me that I am your provider. I'll take care of you. But, and he asked me this question and he said, if you didn't get any return on that, would it still have been worth it? And he kind of like began to shift my mindset to where I wasn't just celebrating the harvest that I think will come from that. I started celebrating the fact that I was just learning to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was worth it. Do I believe in sowing and reaping? Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Giving and receiving 100%. But I've really come to, I've come and I'm still learning and I'm still growing in this area, but I've come to realize more and more that the money that I'm holding isn't really mine to begin with. And so if he says give, you know, he's asking me to move his money from my account to another one, you mm-hmm. know? And I remember I first felt that shift because the first time in that year, he said, hey, I want you to give $10,000 to this person. Katie and I were like, oh my gosh, like this is insane. And then it wasn't just a couple months later, we had some friends living in Nashville and the Lord was like, hey, give them $7,000.
Mm.
And I remember that time was so much easier because like I had already kind of gone through this shift yeah. of realizing like, you know, it's not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I trust you. And so I'm just going to do it. And the ball is in your court, yeah. Lord, because we're not really in a position to be giving like this,
yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So,
so yeah, that was kind of our introduction is, you know, he kind of challenged us to give extravagantly and it hurt and it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I didn't really enjoy it in the process. But now over time, man, I'm so glad that we did that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
That's good. I fall along the lines of structured giving.
Sure.
I structure everything.
Yeah.
With our budget, right? So, yep. I mean, we've got our budget that we set up where we give 15, we save 15, and we spend 10.
Okay.
And we live on the rest.
Okay.
Right? So within the 15 confines, I mean, we'll give out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been times when he said, I want you to give more than what that budget says.
Sure.
And it does hurt because... Mm-hmm. That when it's planned,
messing yeah. your budget all up.
It kind of does, but then it's a step of faith because yep. when it's planned, it's easy.
Yep.
Like when you have a budget in place, you have all the things, all the structure set up where if there's something that happens, the money is there to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
And so when you step out of your space of structure, that's when it stretches.
Yeah,
it stretches you in that area of finance and of giving. But every time I've done it,
yeah,
the budget's always taken care of.
Yep.
We've never missed.
Yep.
We've never missed a bill. We've never we've never struggled in the sense of once my mind shifted, let me get that out. Because like I said, in the early years, I struggled all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But once the abundance mindset set in that you were out of debt before we were out of debt.
Yeah.
So the Lord spoke into my life, you're out of debt, even though I had $50,000 in credit card bills.
Mm-hmm.
But I was instantly freed from debt.
Wow.
And so there wasn't anything left because I was so entrapped by debt. And that was all my negative thought. Like, I'll never get out of this. I'll always be in debt. How can anybody live debt free? This is impossible.
Yeah.
But the spirit of debt was driving me into a impoverished mentality that when he shifted that for me, it was just a light switch that went off and my life totally changed in that instance.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I think budgeting is, unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people do it. I'm being honest.
No.
Katie and I remember when we first started budgeting, it kind of opened up like a whole new world for me. And I realized it's kind of like budgeting your time. Like sometimes you just wonder like where your days have gone. If you don't really have a plan for how you're going to spend your time, the same thing happens with your money. I think if you're not budgeting, you get to the end of the month and you don't really know where your money went and you don't realize how much money you're spending eating out and, you know, getting coffees and all that. But the one thing I did realize too is like, and I'm not budgeting as intensely right now, but when there was a period where Katie and I were budgeting, we had like a zero sum budget. And so I knew every month, I knew where every single dollar went. I tracked it all. I mapped it all out. And I realized that like the budget has potential to kind of become the Lord if you're not, if you're not careful. I've
been there and done that. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so it's just like you're saying, the Lord, of course he has, he retains the right to say, change your budget this month.
Yep.
You know, give a little more. I like the idea of budgeting giving because I think that, you know, I'm a big fan of setting up like rhythms. And so, you know, if you're...
Helps take the stress out of it.
Helps take the stress out of it. Yeah. And it creates a rhythm in your life where you're generously giving. And that's like a regular part of your routine. But yeah, if you're not careful, the budget can become the Lord.
Yep.
And...
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a dangerous place to be.
Money is a really emotional topic for most of us, right? I mean, I think this is why it's addressed so many times in the Bible.
Yeah.
Because God knows it's something we're all going to have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And we get our emotions all wrapped around this topic, right? One of these guys that I mentioned, one of these Christian businessmen that I got to know, he used to do this exercise with people he was talking to where he'd be sitting at the table talking to you about money. And asking, you know, what would you do if you had this much money or that much money? And then he'd reach under the table and he'd grab out a stack of money. It was like $50,000 of cash. So a big fat stack of money, and he'd hand it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just watch and see how you reacted. You know, you like break out in a sweat and start breathing faster, you know? And he's like, okay, this is part of the issue is that you're reacting so emotionally because I just put this big wad of money in your hand. And when we start to detach the emotion from it and view it just as a tool,
yeah,
that the Lord can use, then it opens up a lot of possibilities for the Lord to use us.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so interesting. That's yeah. really great though.
Yeah, because I think money in many ways, it becomes part of you. I mean, because you're earning it, you're exchanging you for money. Mm-hmm. You know, feel every time you spend it, it's like it's a piece of me that's leaving. Yeah.
Yep.
So the emotional attachment to money is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And to learn to detach from that, decouple yourself.
That's right.
From the emotional money, I think is a powerful tool in itself.
I think about this business that we just started and sold and all of the work that went into Absolutely. That, right? Like literal blood, sweat, and yep. tears. You know, we say that phrase, there was literal blood, literal sweat, literal tears.
Yeah.
And then when it came down to it at the end, there was a real possibility. We were just going to like close it up, shut the doors and walk away with nothing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, okay, I mean, we'll be all right. God will take care of us, you know, financially. But there was something about like, wow, all of that effort, all of that work, mm-hmm. for nothing. But then I thought, well, you know, we came here and did this because we felt like the Lord led yep. us to. And so it wasn't for nothing. There was obedience
oh, yeah.
involved,
yeah.
you know? And so we just had to kind of surrender that to the Lord as well.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we assume the Lord's intended outcome when he asks us to do something.
That's right, yeah.
And I think a lot of times yeah. He knows what's going to happen, and it's not always what we think is going to happen, but it's so the thing true. That needed to happen anyway. Yeah. So like with you guys with that exactly. business, like you mentioned, and it's worth saying too that not to your fault, but you opened it at the worst possible time you could have opened a business. You opened it like 3 months before COVID hit.
That's right.
So you opened a business.
We asked that question many times, like, because I heard very clearly from the Lord.
You know,
I was sitting in a cubicle in January of 2019, and he interrupted my work to say, hey, I want you to start a business and have it open this year. And mm-hmm. I kind of spit out my coffee. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? I don't have a business plan. I don't know how to start a business.
Yeah.
But that kind of started us on this process where by June we had secured a location, and by August we moved and started building it, and we got it open the first week of December. So we barely made it.
Yeah.
And then 2 months later, they close us down for COVID.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, what was the purpose here? But I think it was a multifaceted purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Part of which was just getting us here to this location where he wanted us.
Yeah. Part of it was getting you here. And part of it, I think, probably was just what you had said earlier, just everything
Teaching
that you've
trust.
Learned about trust in the Lord.
And he blessed area. Us at the end as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Because of those experiences that you went through with the business, it's the floor of your next mm-hmm. adventure
right.
in Father
right.
to go higher. And you know, I've been in sales for 27 years, and there are small accounts that I had that I was like, why am I even here dealing with this customer? They mm-hmm. buy a case of whatever. I make like $2 every time they buy. But I learned the process, the sales process of those customers, yep. those smaller customers. I learned how to deal with their objections, how to increase their business. Mm-hmm. And because I learned with those smaller accounts, I was able to get larger accounts.
Yeah.
And the Lord blessed me with bigger things and bigger opportunities based on what I've learned throughout the
yeah.
time, right?
Yeah.
As I grew and matured. And so I think we're like I spoke before, I think the starting place is where you're at today. Budget where you're at today. Understand how finances work today.
Yeah.
Knowing that God's going to bring increase to you and take you to a higher place. And if you don't understand how finances work at the place you're at, you'll never be able to get to the next level. You'll never,
right.
He's never going to give you more because you can't manage what you have today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're trusted with little, then he'll trust exactly. you with much. Greater, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I think a lot of times people wait for the wealth to come before
that's
they
right.
get serious about
yep, that's right.
learning big, how to think mistake. About it and how to manage it. And either one of two things will happen. Either the wealth will never come, or it will come and it'll crush you.
Yep.
Yeah, because what's exactly. missing in that picture is faith.
Yeah, right.
You have to start acting in faith often before you see the result. That's what makes it faith.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Brian, something you said some years ago that really challenged me that I love, I think you were talking about money or tithing, and how, you know, a lot of us, you know, we agree with tithing. We kind of have this idea like, hey, I make my money and 10% of it belongs to the Lord, and I'm going to give the Lord his due. And what we don't realize is that actually all of it belongs to the Lord. 100% of it is the Lord's. He gave us everything we have. He gave us the ability to make the money to begin with. And it's, you know, it's really changed my perspective. I mean, it seems a little arrogant to me now to think that I used to consider 90% of this money was mine and I can do whatever I want with that. And God, you get your 10%. You know, I wonder, because I like this shifted for me a bit. When I was, I lived overseas for a while. I was volunteering, doing ministry. I thought I was going to do full-time ministry my whole life. And I was surrounded by incredible need everywhere I looked. So much need and no resources to meet the need everywhere. It was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the things that challenged me to move back to America and start trying to, you know, come up with a different way. Because the Bible says God's gifted us with the ability to generate wealth so that we are able to give to every need that presents itself. Yep. And, you know, I wonder if all of a sudden, you know, we won the lottery or we got, you know, $20 million or whatever that number is, where you don't ever have to think about money again, how many of us would build our big house and buy our land and get our nice car and just get real comfortable living our own life for us.
Yeah.
Right. And how many of us would actually take that and steward it for the purpose of building the kingdom, helping others.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, just a quick Google search about lottery winners will tell you how that usually ends up. Most people end up broke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they have no idea.
Yeah.
They have no idea what they're doing with it.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of, you know, speaking to Chad's point earlier that God is a good father. He doesn't want to destroy us by plopping $20 million on our head when we're not mature enough to handle it. And so he'll lead us, just like you raise a child and train up a child, he'll lead us and grow us step by step so that we're able to handle more and more responsibility. As long as we're leaning into those invitations from him, I think, because everyone takes risk. Everyone is like a greater level of trust. Mm-hmm. You know, like I used to think I trusted the Lord with everything until I went and started a business and my whole family's livelihood depended on it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I found out there was all sorts of unbelief in my heart in regards to the Lord, all sorts of places that I didn't trust him and brought it right up to the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the kindness of God that leads to repentance.
Yeah.
So it was his kindness to put you in a position that caused you to have to think differently and to reveal the content of your heart and your mind in those areas that he could say, hey, you want to work through some of that?
Yeah. Because he wants to give me more. He wants to give me more responsibility. And
And I think the design is all of us as believers have increase implanted in us. I mean, there's some thought that not everybody was designed for increase. I really think that everybody is designed for increase. Mm-hmm. If you understand it and understand what your purpose is and have the vision for God's kingdom and God's purpose, what would that look like?
Yeah.
If the vision is big enough outside of yourself, outside of what you could earn, outside of what you can think of, I think when that's big enough, that's when the Lord comes alongside of you and helps you and says, we'll show you how to get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me show you what it's going to take and we can do it together. Instead of having the other side of it is I'll never have enough. I'll never get enough. This is all I'm going to have. I'll always be in debt. I'll always have to work, you know, those type. I mean, we're always going to have to work, but we're always going to have to, you know, there's ways to leverage yourself. There's ways to leverage income so you don't have to exchange your time for money.
Sure.
And you can multiply yourself.
Yeah.
And that's when it gets fun.
Yeah. When your money starts working for you.
When your money starts working for you, it starts multiplying yourself. And you can really get a bigger vision of what God wants to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And I think that's about all the time we have, but I'll end with this. You know, in the parable of the talents, the owner, the master, he gave to three guys. And it says that he gave each according to their ability. Mm-hmm. And And I just remember thinking about that and thinking, well, if I want to be somebody who is trusted with more, what does the responsibility look like on my end to develop a greater ability? Yeah. Right? Because he gave them according to their ability. Right. And I think that our ability and our capacity is something that we can work towards increasing.
Can grow. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So true.
All right. Well, guys, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming down here.
Nice good talking time. To you.
Yeah. It. Yeah. It's a good topic. It's really, really important. So it's good. Okay. Well, that's going to be it for this episode. And for everybody who listened, thank you for listening. And we love you guys. And we will see you next time.